So let's go on into the chapter 14, Remorse of Conscience. The organ conscience in ordinary man is atrophied from disuse and isolation. Remorse of conscience can repair our past, no matter what we may have done.
Okay. I love these little short chapters. The organ conscience. When we read that, what does that bring to mind in when you hear just that phrase like that, the organ conscience?
Well, I think of the liver.
The liver.
That's what I thought of too.
Okay. All right. The liver is in the ordinary human biological machine completely atrophied as a result of disuse and isolation caused by the inactive state of the emotional centrum. So, there's something there, but we know what atrophied means, but it's because of disuse and isolation. So is there anything we can do? Is that we're looking to see, is are we going to get any guidance here on how to activate that? And then it's something else which I'll bring up in a few minutes. This isolation is broken from time to time, either accidentally from some shock, which we've all experienced, or intentionally by an artificial technique which is called remorse of conscience. When the machine's mother dies, it feels, perhaps for the very first time ever, although the source of attention might not be aware of it, it feels the automatic arising of the emotion called remorse of conscience. We feel this in the machine because, although in many ways we may have been a good child, at the same time, also in many ways, we must inevitably have failed, here we go, in our obligation to our mother, in our obligation to the mother for giving the machine life and preparing us in our own unique or not so unique way for responsible age. We are given the gift of life. The debt is so great that we could not possibly repay it, no matter what, especially in her opinion. The debt to our mother is what can be called original sin, not some imaginary fall from some imaginary state of grace. The machine is a swine of the first degree and soon forgets this momentary discomfort, and in a few weeks is able to sink back into its usual mechanical oblivion. Thank God, right? We can use these first stirrings of conscience activated by the mood of remorse for past wrongdoings and injustices on our part to provide us with the motivation to conserve our precious time and energy for our work to awaken the machine. We can use this emotional state to help us remember to spend our inner force and subjective time not just for our self-satisfaction, but for work, which alone can give our life in the machine real meaning. Now, to activate these deep, essential feelings of remorse of the machine, we should act toward, speak, and respond to everyone we know and meet as if to our own dear mother. Soon, not only will we respond very differently to everybody, more responsibly, we can also, in this way, repay her our debt. Repay our debt to her. Now, check this out. Whether or not she is presently in the world, we can use the sensations of remorse to repair the past in relation to her, and by doing so, begin to make a bridge to our past in preparation for awakening the machine before we ever heard these ideas, which we can do only because the creation contains all events and the past still exists. Okay. Now, if we have also activated the higher emotional centrum, it is possible to use the same exercise on a higher scale to give our mother or our grandmother the means to become a saint. If she had already developed in herself some feelings of objective conscience, but did not have sufficient time in the life of the machine to fully develop this higher impulse. Wow.
Yeah. So just, David, just a clarity thing. This mother that we are talking about, the machine's mother, is literally our biological mother, my relative.
Do you have
the mother?
I have
a mother?
Yeah.
Yeah, my mother.
I was hatched from an egg.
No, I know, no, because sometimes you don't know the terminology, but it means something else, you know, the mother of
no,
the machine,
no,
the divine mother, you know.
Most of the stuff in this book is too simple for the human mind. It literally means our regular mom.
Oh, gotcha.
Mom.
Yeah, cool.
That's what makes it so stirring and
mm-hmm.
difficult.
Super, thanks.
Now, notice the mood right now in the group. Okay?
And your point is?
Like, how do you know the mood? How can you tell what the mood is?
He's sensing it.
I know, but that's what I'm wondering. Like, what is his sense? What is your sense, David, of the mood?
My sense is that we all had a common response to the term remorse of conscience and how it related to our mother
yeah.
and the
mm-hmm.
loss therein. There was a
yeah.
kind of an objective, a common and therefore objective response to the loss of our mother.
Yeah,
and then
okay, I understand that.
Relating that to remorse of conscience.
Yeah, okay.
That's what I meant. Cause it,
okay, I
it,
understand that, yeah.
Seemed to ring through pretty clearly, except there's that one person that's there. You know who you are. You didn't have that. But other than you. Okay? So this is only two pages long, or 2.5 pages. Whole chapter.
So that means, in the light of the exercise, will be that because of that remorse, that we create that remorse, that repentance, let's say, towards our mother, we pay back that debt, treating the other ones in the same kindness or fairness as we would do to our mother. Do unto others close as you would like to be done unto you, but or as you would do unto your mother. I think that's the exercise.
Okay.
Is it, am I on the right track?
What do you think?
Well, I think it's a good action. I mean, I don't know if it is the correct, but I mean, if you treat all the people with the reverence that you will do to your mother that you don't have anymore, I think that's a good lead.
Okay. Anybody else? Guillermo is giving us a hint of how this might work. I was just wondering if others had a thought on this.
I do. But I'd be interested to hear somebody else before me.
Okay.
Shoot. Okay. So can I say something then?
Please
do.
When I first read this chapter, I thought about my mom, and I thought about the fact that she brought me into the world, and as a child, my desire to please her, and all that went into that. And then I recognized that my desire to please her became more important than my awareness of the life that she gave me. And somehow this chapter got me in touch with that.
Good.
Rather than what I need to do in order to make it, it got me in touch somehow with the life that came through and the life that comes through. So somehow I got in touch with it has remorse of conscience to me is if I have remorse of conscience because I feel guilty in any way, it is not remorse.
Good. Very, very good point. Exceptional point. The other thing I wanted to point out, isn't there just a common, like, societal conscience also? Like, the kind of, I would call it, society kind of tells us what's right and wrong.
Yeah.
And there's kind of like a societal right and wrong. This is different. This is a different thing.
Can you say more about if you feel guilty, then that's not remorse?
Well, that's just that's a convenient place to hang out. In guilt. Guilt is, you just, oh gosh. Guilt, in a sense, puts a conclusion to it. When you sit in the remorse of conscience and you sense it, in a sense, directly as a thing in itself, might be a path, a duty, an action to take, something like that, or something that you didn't do. If you feel guilty about it, it's like you're done, right? Oh, I was wrong. I feel bad. Chapter's
over. I don't know about that. I don't actually agree with that.
Okay.
I've seen people do that, and like they beat themselves up and then they're done. But I don't experience that. When I feel guilty, it keeps echoing. Some, like, I remember this is so stupid, but that's why it makes a good example. Years ago, I was working in somebody's office, and I needed a stamp, and I took one of his stamps. Now, he told me to take one before when I needed it, and later on I asked him for one on a different day, and he said, oh, just take him anytime you want. But I took this stamp without asking, and it surfaced for years for me that I had stolen this stamp from him, and it never went away. So for me, with when I feel guilty about something, there's some way that I continue to live with it, and I don't know that the past, I don't know how to repair the past around that.
Okay. Is he still in business, or did that take him down?
Well, I told him about it at one point. I confessed, and he laughed in my face, but somehow I still felt bad that I did it without asking.
Yeah, that's not remorse of conscience. That's guilt.
Right.
That's just behavioral guilt, and it's societal in a certain way, because you're saying, gosh, my armor has been cracked a little bit here. Rather than, the posture he was suggesting to you is, we're in a kind of a collaborative work here. Yeah, if you need a stamp, just take it. That, being in that posture, is the remorse of conscience. That would have been, how do I stand there? How do I stand there, rather than in the on and off of guilt, right or wrong? On or off.
How is that place, I see that that's a better place, but how is that place remorse?
How is that place what?
How is that place of being collaborative, which is that's a new experience.
No, hang on.
Okay.
Can you hang on just a moment? Okay, we're going to break for about just a couple of seconds here. And then let's restate your question, okay?
Okay.
Well, you know, again, to my way of thinking, there's background to this book, and that background goes back to what Gurdjieff wrote. And in explaining remorse of conscience, Gurdjieff's framework would be something like this. Originally, the Absolute existed entirely by himself, or herself, as the case might have been. And it gradually dawned on the Absolute that the place of its residence was gradually diminishing by nothing more than the flow of time. And in order to correct this diminution or impossible death of his primary place of residence, he changed the laws of world creation and brought into existence the creation. Really, he gave life to a creation that he now feeds on. And this becomes really the fundamental cause of remorse of conscience in this sense. In saving himself or saving herself, the Absolute experienced extreme joy, having escaped death through the inevitability of time, the passage of time. At the same time and in the same moment, the Absolute experienced extreme sorrow, recognizing that he had only transferred his burden from himself to us, the creation who must now experience death. And it was the collision and the contradiction between the sheer joy of saving himself and the sheer sorrow of having transferred that burden to us personally that produces in the Absolute the condition called suffering. So the question is now. So the question today is: does the Absolute suffer because of from affection for his creation? Look what I did! I created something in my own image and gave life to something similar to myself to keep me company. Or does the Absolute suffer because he's created a lot? He's created a messy creation for all of us to experience, and so it's that collision that produces within the Absolute remorse of conscience,
right?
And which each of us tries to work out in our own life, and tries to alleviate. We try to alleviate the suffering of the Absolute by living impeccable lives. You know, Carlos Castaneda's or Don Juan's impeccability of life and living,
right?
We try to at least alleviate our own suffering by karmic right actioning, doing the right thing in accordance with conscience, which is the Absolute presenting himself, herself, locally to each of us, to the particle of divinity within each of us. So anyway.
I wanted to insert Zazen's comment. Through my repeated exposure and intent of this exercise, I may experience remorse more deeply, or even for the first time. Guilt in me is asking the ego to be activated. This remorse
right.
encourages my payment or balancing of the count.
Okay.
That's useful, and I can relate to that, and I definitely feel in the ego in the guilt. And at the same time, even though I have in myself, I know I have remorse, I don't feel that I've identified it very clearly so that I can distinguish it when it's occurring.
For instance, and I'm making, you know, I'm making a lot of leaps of assumptions here, but in your case with a stamp, to interact with this fellow in a collaborative manner would have taken a certain, or will take, a certain change of being. So the stamp was immaterial. The stamp meant nothing. He, in a sense, was offering you another way of being. The remorse is, gosh, I didn't take advantage of that. And if you hold yourself in that, into not the stamp or not stamp, but the change of being for working collaboratively, truly collaboratively, and accepting the help that he gave you, that being in that posture changes something internally. And it changes. That's the force of conscience and the remorse of conscience, and it repairs it. If let's say you were in a in a situation and you were working with somebody, and you truly offered them, truly, no strings attached, a collaborative event, but it was truly collaborative, and you could stand in that moment, you would have recaptured that space for yourself, in my opinion. But, in my opinion, that would be the form of work that is associated with that particular event.
That makes sense. I still, what comes up for me is it does loop back into things with my mother, but not in terms of not in terms of feeling happy about that relationship.
That's very touchy thing, and I mean, a certain way. And I don't want the time to elapse without going, looking at the very last paragraph in this and getting a discussion going on that a little bit. But just from the point of view. Just as an aside for myself, I actually don't know who my mother was because I was adopted. I actually do not know who that person was. But she made an effort to produce a healthy child so that that healthy child could have a shot at this. And I look at it as like having a shot reaching back up the tree of life and alleviating for a moment that struggle and that suffering that exists. And I do not mean a personal alleviation. And then I was selected by another individual who acted as my mother. And I have, just from that point of view, not only am I thankful and I'm grateful for both of those women and the work they did to allow me to be here today, to be hacking away at the possibility of of this cosmic adventure that I'm in. That's pretty cool. And I think that I thank my mother for that. I thank her for that gift, both of them. That's just in itself, nothing else, just for that moment of opportunity.
Where does remorse come in there?
Okay, different question. So then it comes up with, and this is the dance that you brought up too, is this dance of pleasing the mother. If you're pleasing her based on pleasing her by behavioral things, then I think that's just mechanical. But in a certain way, and this is where I start to not understand it, but I think I feel it. There's a charge that is offered to me to fulfill. And did I fulfill that charge with her? I'll give you a very specific example where the answer is no, I did not. Okay? I haven't talked, some of you know that my mother passed away about a month ago or so, and all these events occurred. Now, my mother was quite an artist. She was a sculptor and a very fine poet. She had told me that in August, 9 months ago or so, that there was a story that she had mapped out in her mind that was so unique. She had only told it to my father, who passed away 2 years ago, and she had told it to my sister, who had passed away now 4 years ago. But she had told it to no one else, nor had she had time to write it down. Plus, her vision was so bad, she couldn't write. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So she wanted to give me that story. So somewhere tumbling in the back of my brain was, oh, I'm going to get one of those little flip recorder thingies, and next time I go down to visit her, I'm going to record that story. Guess what?
Yeah.
Huh?
That's real remorse. That's remorse.
Okay. So what's the nature of that remorse, or is it guilt?
It would be both for me.
Okay, so how do I stand in not guilt? What's the posture, what's the inner posture that I stand in such that I'm not reveling in the guilt? Oh, I feel really bad, blah, 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 blah. But if I, in a sense, stay with the fact that here was this story, here's this story that was untold forever now. Can I fix that? Can I pay the stamp back into the pot? Impossible, right?
No.
Impossible for me to fix that specifically with my mother. Or if I had done it, then I could say, oh, here's it, I've got to transcribe, blah, 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 blah. Now, so now we come to the last chapter, last paragraph here. Is there anything I can do? Here I am caught, right?
David.
Guillermo.
In those lines and what you said before, I was thinking, and I put this cautious here, it's not that the two words mean the same, I know that, but could be interchangeable remorse for gratitude. I know that they don't mean the same in the dictionary, but
yeah,
the,
but if,
Because of the remorse, if we think we take the risk of saying, well, guilt, and we don't want a negative, let's say, negative feeling underneath. But the sense that we owe something and we have this feeling of gratitude to return it or to pay it back.
Wonderful. Wow.
Am I in the right track?
I definitely understand, as long as the word gratitude is capitalized.
Yes, no, definitely, because it's a positive feeling that you need to get back and say, listen, I'm so thankful for what you gave me or what happened, but I need to get it back to you.
I have a life. I have had, up until this moment, at about 8:17 Pacific time. Who knows what will happen now or now. But I've had a very successful life, a fruitful life in a certain way.
Mm-hmm. So Zazen said earlier, caring was one way that you could bring that back. Pathworld said, a missed opportunity. Zazen said, pick up your story right from where it is and run with it. And then Silverdale said, I like that exchange of words, gratitude for remorse.
Yeah.
I like that too.
Yeah, I do too. I think it's... So, but what is this phrase mean here? I mean, here's this author coming through, writes this big book, and he says to us, if we have also activated the higher emotional centrum, it is possible to use the same exercise on a higher scale to give our mother or grandmother the means to be a saint if she had already developed in herself some feelings of objective conscience. And I guarantee you that had begun in my mother, no question.
Which mother?
But the only one I knew. I didn't know my birth mother.
Okay.
Except through anecdotal evidence, she did certain things that were very, very selfless in regard to both me and my older sister. But it says here, means to become a saint, but had she had not had the sufficient time in life of the machine to fully develop this higher impulse. Is he implying that I can do something to help my mother or grandmother?
Why not?
I don't know. They're dead.
Well, that doesn't matter. Like she had.
I like her a lot. I think you're really cool. Okay.
Okay. I'll shut up. Can I say something?
Sure, yeah.
She had a story. And I think that you know the story.
Maybe. It's possible. I haven't found it yet.
My mom had a story, and I'm finding it.
Nice.
What does that mean, the means to become a saint?
Well, I know what it means to have the means to become a CPA.
But you're alive.
Maybe it's the same. Okay, maybe it isn't.
That's for David.
So the means to become a saint maybe somehow through some manner a element is made available to those individuals somehow that they can use to click it one step further.
Huh.
So if we go back into the practical work on self on words and the written word, and we look at the word saint,
yeah,
the written word saint, and I don't know what the word saint means. Absolutely nothing. Like if I see the word saint as absolutely nothing that I know of, that my background has told me that the word saint is.
Yeah.
I might see the reality of who my mom was.
Okay.
Like, why did he use the word saint in that context, in that paragraph, right before the paragraph?
Yep.
The other paragraph, like, what is that about? You know, what is that about if not to throw everything into a screw?
Throw everything into a what?
A screw.
A screw, yeah. It does for me. I mean, up above in the paragraph before, it said, in preparation for awakening of the machine before we ever heard these ideas.
So does that mean to make her into a saint in your imagination, or does that mean to try to influence the energetics of who your mother was before you were born, or what is he talking about?
Yeah, it definitely does not mean making her into a saint in your imagination.
I didn't definitely think so.
Yeah.
So what exactly is he talking about in terms of intention and experience, and where do you go inside yourself to bring that about, and where are you directing your attention or intention? What is the practical aspect of that exercise?
Well, you know, I read this and I know that I don't understand it enough to share the answer, because I really don't, but I know that it smells right. Smells right, and I have a sneaking suspicion of kind of where to point myself. I don't know that I can say I can. It seems right to me, and it also seems very possible that I can do this, and that if I hold myself in a particular posture called remorse of conscience, that I can do something that in a sense frees, creates freedom for that previous generation's, both of them. and that we are clearly electrically connected.
Hey, David.
Yeah.
I was kind of lingering on Leonie's thoughts with the word saint. What's a saint? What does the word saint mean? And I just sort of, what came inside of me was clarity.
Yeah, nice. That when she said it, and I know that I don't have the right answer at all, but it was like the clarity of someone moving on the path with clarity.
David, you read that sentence on the preceding page, and the last phrase there that you didn't finish was, which we can do only because the creation contains all events and the past still exists. So he's saying that linear time here is not the only thing to be considered.
Exactly.
That's very helpful. Makes a lot more sense to me.
So, you know, once again, Mike clarifies for us that somehow this idea of creation, it exists from moment one until right now, and the whole supposed linearity of it is a construct.
Well, time is spherical, even if we predominantly experience it as linear.
Thank you.
It's linear within a spherical context.
So if I hold these impossible ideas in my mind, quote-unquote, in my mind, I can't figure them out. What happens? Where am I then?
Here's a question for Silverdale about this whole concept of time. What we were talking about like last week and this week with the seven phases where you deflect energy, is it conceivable to think of the reincarnation of all of our lives, however many they may be, tied into these seven phases? Because to me, that would certainly encompass this concept that we're all struggling with right now.
Well, I guess the simple answer is yes, Teresa, but...
No, that was Diana.
I'm sorry, Diana. Yeah, maybe yes, but subject to further discussion.
Yeah, thank you, George. Silverdale. Sorry. Oh, boy.
You're trying to unmask me, are you?
I have failed miserably. No one can unmask who you really are. And it's a little frightening, so we don't want to go there. So we leave this time period as it's ending, in this case in a linear manner at 8:30, with a true unanswered question and an unanswered posture. But hopefully... Go ahead.
Is it possible to make one comment? Because it's kind of like sticking in me. If I can totally, completely as I possibly can, forgive everything that I held against my mom, in some way I have freed her.
Probably, yeah.
And in another way, you've freed yourself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's that interplay of freedom, I think, that is what, in part, we're talking about here.
Yeah, okay. That's good. That's all I needed. So, yeah.
Two-sided coin, yep.
So then remorse of conscience is an exercise in freeing oneself.
Yeah, I believe that. Yeah, okay.
So let's practice this week, even though it's a national holiday in the United States.
Okay. Thank you for your participation tonight. It's been a good, lively discussion. And we will see you next week.
Hang on.
Yeah?
One second. Teresa, can you repeat your summation about how you defined what remorse of conscience is real quick?
I can't remember. That was a long time ago. I said remorse of conscience then is an exercise in freeing oneself.
Remorse of conscience is an exercise in freeing oneself. And the exercise for this coming week then is to practice this means of remorse of conscience and put it to work, attempt to work with it during the week, and let's bring the results of our efforts back to the group next week then.
Okay, so thank you again for your participation, and next week we'll discuss this topic more and move on to talk about walking between